Learning Michtav Eliyahu, the Hebrew volume 1, page 16. The essay we started discusses the ideas concerning the compassion that's shown to the wicked, the Rishoyim in this world, the wicked people in this world. So by the way, wicked, when we use the word wicked, Rosha, there's two terms, there's the word Ra and there's the word Rosha. Ra means a person is evil, and Rosha we normally translate as wicked, and the difference is that Ra, an evil person, is someone who hurts other people. Who hurts other people, and by hurting other people, certainly he sins towards Hashem. A person who's a Rosha, a wicked person, is very nice to other people. People like him, he's popular, he's good to his neighbors, he's good to his family. It's just that his relationship with Hashem is not a good one. In other words, in terms of his relationship with others, it's good, but in terms of his desire to serve Hashem, so there he prefers to serve himself rather than serve Hashem, and that's what defines him as a Rosha. So in terms of this, we brought in the last class the verse that says, "Meshalem l'soynov el ponov la'avidei." Hashem pays his enemies up front to destroy them, meaning he pays them the reward for the mitzvahs they do in this world. Even though they've done mitzvahs, Hashem pays them up front for the mitzvahs that they've done in this world, and by that way he pays off his debt to them, and he can remove them from the world to come. And thereby they have no share in the world to come. And the question we ask on this is that surely that's not really fair, because the mitzvahs, we said the reward of a mitzvah is beyond this world. The mitzvah itself is eternity. And therefore, to trade a Rosha, to trade in his reward for his mitzvahs, which is eternity, for reward in this world, which is, so obviously there's no comparison between the two, isn't that cheating him? Because you're giving him much less than what he deserves. He's done mitzvahs, which is eternity, and you've traded it in for him with the comforts and luxuries and the goodness of this world, which is much, much less than what eternity can offer him. So isn't that unfair? To answer this question, and as we've been saying all along, to answer them, whenever we answer a question such as this, we're answering it partially. We're answering it according to our understanding and according to our insight. Hashem's brilliance goes way beyond anything we can grasp ourselves. But for our own understanding, for what we can work with, so we started off with the following introduction. And we said that in general, mitzvahs and good deeds can be divided into two categories. There are those mitzvahs which are l'shem shemaim, mitzvahs that are performed for their own sake, or for the sake of serving Hashem, where the intention of the person is to cleave to Hashem. He wants to attach himself to Hashem, and therefore he obeys Hashem's commands, he does Hashem's commands in order to cling and to attach himself, to cleave to Hashem. That's the higher level. The lower level is when a person does a mitzvah not for the sake of the mitzvah, not for the sake of Hashem, but for some ulterior motive, for some interest of his own. That's why he's performing the mitzvah. Or even if he's doing the mitzvah because it's pleasure to him, it's something that makes sense to him, and something that's straight in his own eyes, something that he believes in. He'll do it because that's the type of person he is. He's not doing it for Hashem, he's doing it because that's what he subscribes to. So that's the second level. That level is called lo lishmo, not for the sake of Hashem. So picking up here on page 16, the last paragraph starts as follows: V'hine aschar bo'ilam abo, hu asher tzadikim yoishvim chulei v'neni miziv ashchina. It says there that the reward of the world to come is that the righteous sit there, it says there with crowns on their heads, and they relish, they enjoy the sheen of the divine presence. But there's a type of aura that's given off, there's a type of light, some sort of a spiritual pleasure, which is beyond any type of physical, tangible pleasure. And they relish, they just sit in the light of this, of the divine presence, the sheen, the shining of the divine presence. That's how it's described by the sages in terms that we can understand partially. Which is to say, that that the reward of the world to come is to be clinging to Hashem, to be cleaving, attached to Hashem with a complete attachment. There's a total attachment. Just like maybe two lovers are attached to each other, they're totally enraptured with each other. So this is the reward of the world to come, is that we become totally attached to this upper attachment to the Divine Presence. And to merit this wonderful influence, this pouring, outpouring of spirituality, which comes with Hashem turning towards us, looking towards us, looking to us and pouring out His goodness, His love, His light onto us. Amnam, however, if the mitzvahs a person does are in terms of dveikus to Hashem, clinging to Hashem, that's really why he's doing mitzvahs, because he does want to come closer to Hashem. He does appreciate that that's really what is important in this world. As a scharhu or isakadusha, then the reward will be that type of holiness, that he will be attached. If that's what he's working towards, that is what he will receive. Right? But that attachment is the reward. That's what he's striving for. So that's that attachment is what he receives. Sheboil nafshal yedei dveikusei b'Hashem yisbarach, which will come to him through him being attached to Hashem. Tinosin lo b'kif lekiflaim, and that will be given to him in double measures. Right, to the degree that he strives to come close to Hashem, so he receives that closeness, right, much much more than he could possibly ever even imagine while he lived in this world. Alfa lofim pamim, thousands and millions of times more. Because we're working in the darkness, so therefore we really can't really see what we're doing. A person does a mitzvah, even if you do an act of kindness for someone else, we can never know what we're doing. Sometimes even just the smallest word of encouragement that you give another person, you can never know the effect. You can never know how far reaching it is. It's all hidden from us. So that's true in terms of anything that's spiritual. The spiritual world is the hidden world for us, and therefore we can never know the effect. But the effect is, where a person is striving for this closeness, he will receive such a closeness millions of times much more powerful than he could ever have imagined. And he will merit to reach this possibility, this closeness, right, which no creature, no person in this world could ever imagine achieving. However, and this is the big however, those people whose good deeds are not with this idea in mind of coming closer to Hashem, that's not what interests them. They're doing good deeds, but not in order to get closer to Hashem. So then, you don't have this element in their good deeds. You don't have this element being used as a means to come closer to Hashem, because they're not interested in coming closer to Hashem. They're doing good deeds, but not with the intention of coming closer to Hashem. And therefore there's no reality that you could pay them for their good deeds with a type of reward where their deeds are not attached to that. They're not attached to that issue. In other words, they're good, doing good deeds, but not with any purpose to come closer to Hashem. So you can't pay them off with closeness to Hashem. There's no relationship between the two. They're doing good deeds, but they're not interested in coming closer to Hashem, and therefore they're not coming closer to Hashem. They didn't tick that box. They're not directing their actions in that direction. They're pointing them in another direction completely. So therefore, they're not working towards closeness to Hashem, and therefore they have no. It doesn't work. They're not coming closer to Hashem. Alkein mash me'ashe ma'asov, and therefore the person whose deeds im gam tovim, even though they are good deeds, avaloi olu lemaylus mebechinas enoishis. However, they don't go beyond the human realm. Now the person he's nice to his neighbors because that's, you know, he likes, he's a friendly person and he's expecting his neighbor, he's making a party, his neighbor will come to his party, he'll go to the neighbor's party, they'll be good neighbors, you know, he'll lend him his axe and he'll lend him his spade and they'll be very friendly, on friendly terms, they'll sit down and drink beer together. So therefore, it never goes beyond the human realm, which is to say they're doing human good deeds, human relations, good social relations. Mishum zegam aschar hum v'chines hamusegas v'ilam hazeh. And therefore the reward also is translated into concepts of this world. Now the whole thing is geared towards this world, making this world a pleasant place. Right? He's not a mean person, he's a generous person, but it's all in terms of that this world should be pleasant, and that's what he's striving towards, and that's what he receives. And therefore, according to the value that he gives to his deeds, so that is the reward, is according to the values he attaches to his deeds. And that world to which his actions relate, that's the world in which he receives his reward. He's doing these good deeds for this world, and therefore he receives his reward in this world. That's exactly what's happening. That's the mechanics here. And that's why he's being paid here. That's what he wants. He's getting exactly what he wants. This idea the Gemara spells out, it says as follows. It's a pasuk we say, and there's interpretation of the verse as follows. The verse says, Oich yomin biyamina, besmoyle oisha v'kovid. Many times we say this in the Siddur, we see this when they put the Sefer Torah away. We mention this verse. Length of days at its right side, on its left side, wealth and distinction and honor. Again, length of days on its right side, Oich yomin biyamina, besmoyle, on its left side, oisha v'kovid, wealth and honor. So the way the Gemara interprets is as follows. On its right side means those who are to the right of the Torah. L'maiminim bo. Those who lean to the right side of the Torah, they will receive length of days, and all the more so the wealth and honor. Length of days means the world to come. Right, because this world is not length of days. Our time in this world is not a long time. Maybe it might seem long, but relative to eternity, it's nothing. It's just it's a blink of an eye. It's a few minutes. So therefore, those who are on the right side of the Torah, they receive length of days, and all the more so the wealth and distinction of this world, because that's included. Right? The lesser is included in the greater. But those who incline to the left side of the Torah, so Oisha v'kovod ika, they do merit wealth and fame. Oich yomim leka, but they do not merit length of days. Upirush Rashi, Rashi explains them, ma'aminim lishma. Those who are to the right of the Torah means who fulfill the Torah for the sake of the Torah. They're doing the Torah because of the reason that the Torah is given. They're living the Torah for the reason of the Torah, the reason of Hashem. For its sake, for its own sake. They're using it for its own sake in the correct way. Masmilim shalolishma. Those on the left side of the Torah refer to those who fulfill the Torah not for the sake of the Torah, for their own agenda. So they receive the reward in this world. The concept of length of days refers to the time when it's all long. It's all long. It's all good. Shuvah olam haba, which is the world to come. So there is the concept of going to the right side of the Torah means to live the Torah for the sake of the Torah. And there the reward is, the sake of the Torah is something eternal, and therefore the reward also is eternal. Right? Included in that is goodness of this world also. Because when you're doing everything right, so then things flow smoothly. If you follow the directions exactly, and you do exactly like it says, like the directions say, so it works out well for you here also. There's no hiccups. Everything goes smoothly. So this world can also go smoothly for the person who's living purely for the sake of the world to come. But for those who are living only for the sake of this world, so they do receive reward in this world, but that's where it stops. Now, next point. Rav Dessler brings here a Beis. Basically brings the posuk Poseches Yodeh Umasbia Luchol Chai Rotzoin. You open your hand, we say to Hashem, you open your hand and you give to each living being his desire. You open your hand and to each person you give exactly what they want. Hashem gives to each person what they want, whatever you want, that's what you can have. Hashem is Bor Mamale Rotzoin Kol Nivro, which to say that Hashem gives to each person what he wants. Right. What makes that frightening is that, we're going to get what we want. So that's what you asked for. So that's what you get. However, this has to be understood because the desires of people are often clash with each other. Each person desires what belongs to his neighbor. And he also doesn't want to give up his own. And therefore we have the desire of one person clashing with the desire of the other, right? If you want everything that's yours plus everything that belongs to your neighbor, and he wants everything that's his plus whatever belongs to you, so you can't possibly satisfy
everyone,
right? Because each one, you know, there's an overlap. So what does it mean? So that becomes a question. What does it mean Hashem gives each person his desire when his desire can't, it encroaches on someone else's desire? How can Hashem satisfy both? You can't literally fulfill the desires of them both. And as we understand that this can't be taken absolutely literally, that you get exactly, you know, you make a list, and this is what I want, you write out the shopping list, and that's what you receive the next day, you know, or within 10 minutes, as is what it is. So that obviously it doesn't translate into very simplistic terms. So what does it mean? I saw commentators explain, it's talking about the reward. Hashem gives the person his reward according to his desires, which means the tzaddik desires that the reward for his mitzvahs should be in the world to come. Right? That's the important world. So that's where he wants his reward to be paid. Right? That's his permanent world. And he's saving up for that permanent world. So it's like a kid who's hoarding up candy for his holiday, right? When he goes on holiday, he's going to have a whole pack of candy. So therefore, he's not eating it now. He's hoarding it. He's waiting. He wants to keep it for the ultimate reward is the connection to Hashem, and we're doing to promote the connection to Hashem. So it's just like let's say two lovers. The one will give a gift to the other, and that will create the relationship. We understand that the relationship to Hashem is the reward. The closeness to Hashem is the reward. So therefore, we're enhancing the relationship by giving gifts to Hashem. So it comes together. You're doing it to create that love, but that love is the reward. That closeness is the reward. That attachment is the reward. So that's how he brings it. The Mefarshim explained that the tzaddik wants his reward for his mitzvahs. If there's going to be reward for the mitzvahs, so he wants it to be paid out over there, not here. Don't give it to me now. Give it to me over there. However, the punishment for his sins, he nasim boi boilam azeh, that he wants over here in this world, that he wants to take care of now. If there are problems in my actions, in my thoughts, in the way I do things, my lifestyle, so I want to take care of that now. I want to pay the price for that now and settle all the bills. I don't want to come into the world to come with bills, with debts, and therefore I want to take care of that right now. Hashem mehera yachlef yavoy, because he realizes that this is the passing world, and therefore it's only for a short time. If he has to suffer, let him suffer now in this world, and not in eternity. The whole world, it doesn't have such great value. This whole world is just a passing stage, and therefore, it's the same thing. A person is preparing for a party, so he puts on old work clothes. Right? He's going to get dirty. He might fall into the sponge or whatever it is. So he puts on work clothes. It's not important the way he looks. It's not important the way he dresses. This is just the preparation period. And therefore, the focus is on the results, on the ceremony itself, and not on the preparation. So therefore, if there are problems he has to deal with, he wants to deal with them right now. If there's punishment he has to receive, he wants to receive it right now. Aval harosha, however, the wicked person, right? The wicked person is the person who's solely focused on this world, and he disregards the world to come. He just poo-poos it, right? It doesn't have any significance to him. So kol cheftze v'tzeinu hu lahasig oilam hazeh harbe. So his whole desire and his wish is that this world should be maximum. He wants to maximize his this time in this world. And if you ask him, where do you want your reward? Where should we deliver it? So he says, give me the reward of my mitzvahs now, here in this world, with pleasantness and with comfort, with wealth, with honor, etc. Let me receive it all in this world. Let this world be absolutely perfect for me. What about the world to come? No, that doesn't have any importance to him. It's not something that he disregards, and therefore he's no, he wants it now. If there's reward, give it to me right now. I want it now. Don't hold anything back. And if he does need to be punished, if he does need to suffer consequences for certain actions that he's done, so that he wants as far away as possible, just put that on hold for as long as possible, just push it off. And if he owes money, just extend the loan as far as possible. If there's going to be punishment, let that be for the world, which anyway he doesn't believe in so much. So if they're going to say, give it to me then, the punishment, all right, you'll give it to me then in the world to come, that's fine, we'll take care of it then. It's not... Because he doesn't give it importance. It's not important to him. So let it be then. Let it be then. Because he really doesn't believe in its existence. It could be a tzaddik receives great wealth because he's using it to promote Yiddishkeit in this world, and it becomes tools of his trade. As he's using it, he's not receiving it as a reward, but he's receiving it as part of the tool set that he needs in order to do his service. So therefore, just like a person in a company, he gets a job, he's a very responsible job in a company, so they'll give him a secretary, and they'll give him a company car, and they'll give him extra helpers, and they'll give him extra expense accounts, etc. All of this in order that he can do his job in a more efficient way, in a more proper way. So all of that is not part of his salary. That's just part of his work environment. And each person is given the tools he needs for the job he needs in this world. So by the way, this helps us to understand there's a concept of Yeridus HaDoiris, the descent of the generations. We say that each generation is a little bit less than the generation before. This is a concept we have. Right? Earlier generations were on a much higher spiritual level, and we're on a much lower spiritual level. And the question is why? Why should it be like that? Why should we be less than even the last generation, who were less than the generation before them? Why should it be like that? And the answer is, we're going off our topic a little bit, but the answer is that the Jewish people as a whole have a task to fulfill in this world. And it's like a building team who are coming into an empty plot, and they're going to build a big building there, a skyscraper over there. So the first group of workers who come in, they put up the framework of the building. Right? They're the ones who do the cement work, and they do the whole structure of the building. The next team will start doing other brickwork. Then you have the electricians come in, and the plumbers come in. It's all its stages, right? And the final touches are certain workers who come in to do the plastering, or to do the painting, or to put up the pictures, or to roll out the carpets. There's a process to setting up a whole building. That would be the analogy. So the same thing, the earliest tzaddikim who came in to do the work, right, the work of Hashem, the work of the Jewish people, so they were doing the foundation work. They were given the most powerful tools because they had the most work to do. Everything was undone. Now, there was nothing was done yet. The first ones to come in, they had to basically start from scratch. And therefore, they were given the most powerful tools because their work is the hardest work, the beginning work. And then later generations, they're just filling in what earlier generations haven't yet done. And that's why our generation has much less to do than previous generations. We're just building on what was already done. We're completing what was already started. And therefore, our tools fit our task. Right? So just like you wouldn't give plumbing tools to a carpenter, or you wouldn't give carpentry tools to a plumber, so therefore, our tools also are lesser tools. We have less to do. We still have to do it as best as possible. It's still ultimately important. All of it is important. But it's the tools we need for our task. And that's why maybe our spiritual strengths are less, but also our responsibilities are less, according to the generation. Well, ultimately, what Hashem wants is to do what Hashem wants is what is good for us. Because to do our task perfectly, is we will profit the best. Next paragraph, Gimel. Re'isi oid bio masbiya l'chol chai rotzon. Says Rav Desla, I also saw another explanation in terms of the verse, he satisfies the desire of each living person. Ki lo yene odom be'emes ele im yagi elav dova asher ishtoike klas sigoy. Really, a person will not get pleasure, true pleasure, from anything that he receives unless it's something that he was longing to receive. Right? We can't really enjoy. People give us things we never wanted, we never thought of, so we can't get pleasure from it as much as we would get from something that we really have a longing for, really paying. We've been hoping for this thing for a long time, and we've been desiring it for much time, and then we finally reach it. So that type of item is the one that gives us the highest pleasure. Like milui hatshuka hu ikar hanoa va'oineg. It's the fulfillment of our longing which is the main pleasure and delight that we can possibly have. And therefore, if a person receives some item which he never made any effort to try and reach, so his pleasure in that item is very, very little. He got something, he didn't want it. So it's just, you know, it's just a pain. It's just something that, you know. Right, it was written in the claims that the complainers made in the desert. Right, there was a group of complainers in the desert. The Jewish people were living in the desert with the most ideal circumstances, the clouds of glory, and they were being fed with the man, with the manna, and they had Moshe Rabbeinu delivering shiurim. But nevertheless, the complainers. One of the complaints of the complainers were Zachanu Sadaga Shenuichal Mitzrayim Chinom. Right, we remember the fish we ate in Egypt for free. We got free fish. Right? Now we know that something you get for free doesn't have a very much value. And now we feel dried out. And now all we have is man. Right? The man, they were able to taste in the man whatever taste they desired. But because they received it without making any type of effort, they felt dried. They felt it was they being cheated. It was tasteless because they never put any effort in terms of the man they were receiving, and they took it reluctantly. So it was tasteless to them. It was dry to them, like dry crackers, dried stale cookies. Ve'ekul l'umas hadogim shenitnu chinom. So it was like nothing relative to the fish that they'd received in Egypt. Ve'hine. Right. So the idea is as follows. Ha'adam lo yikne lo imidus v'tayvus ritzoynus chadoshim acha moisoy. A person does not. Because the time for desiring is in this world. We desire in this world. This is the world where we're lacking. We're in a situation of lacking, and this is where we can have our desires. And Adam lo yikne lo imidus v'tayvus ritzoynus chadoshim acha moisoy. A person does not acquire for himself attributes or desires or longings or wishes or hopes, new hopes after his death. So therefore, Misha b'chayev hayagashmi v'chol ritzoynusov. And here comes the main point. If someone in his lifetime was very, very physical, very materially minded in terms of all of his desires, so therefore, even when he dies, he has no pleasure from spirituality. Right? Just like he had no pleasure from it in this world, right? To spend time in shul was a big waste of time for him, and therefore he just dreaded it. Just to go to shul was something that's dreadful. So therefore, if he had no desire for spirituality in this world, so when he dies also he has no desire for it. He has no desire for it. Just like that which draws his soul in this world, so it will be for him in the world to come. Sham enenu mokam hatikun. That for him is not what he wants. It's not what he desires. It's not where he's getting what he wants. Zulas imal yadei onshe gehenem yutukan. Because therefore he cannot be repaired. He cannot be repaired of his desires unless it's with the punishments of Gehenna. that he is repaired. Others, maybe his thinking has to be changed. And that's something that's very, very difficult. His whole outlook has to be changed. And that is something maybe possibly in Gehenna for certain souls that could be repaired to a certain degree. But it's basically you're stuck with who you are, like the person you are. That's who you're stuck with. The circumstances are maybe different, but you're still the same person. Like the verse says, that there's no action or calculation or knowledge in the Gehenna where you're going there. And as where you're going there, it's not the time for making personal changes. And it's already after the effect. It's after this world. However, someone who in his life, where his ambitions and his desires were spiritual, liskarev elav yisbarach, where his desire was to come closer to Hashem, who gamba voyu sham yishaf leruchnias velizkes liskarev el Hashem. So then, when he comes over there, he also will have a drive towards spirituality and to merit to come close to Hashem. And therefore, perforce, the reward of a righteous person has to be in the spiritual world. Right? You know, what he wants is closeness to Hashem, and that's the world you receive closeness to Hashem. So therefore, his reward is in the world to come, because his reward is not what is available in this world. He wants the closeness of Hashem. The closeness of Hashem is something that only exists in the world to come, and that's how he's saying he wants his reward in the world to come. He wants his reward in eternity. That's what he wants. So he's getting what he wants, and that's his delight. To receive what you want is to receive delight. Right? We get what we want, and so that's what gives us pleasure. Barosha, however, the wicked person, right? All he wants, the Rosha only wants the goodness of this world. That's all he wants. He wants it good in this world. That's what gives him delight. That's what he wants. Not Hashem gives to each person what he wants. And what he wants are the pleasures that exist only in this world. So he gets his reward in this world. Because it's this world he wants. This is what he wants. This is what gives him pleasure. So Hashem wants to give him pleasure for his mitzvahs. He's done certain mitzvahs, certain good deeds. He wants pleasure. That's pleasurable for him. So, you know, just like you want to give a kid a reward, you wouldn't give him something he doesn't like, you give him something that he does like. Otherwise, it's not a reward, it's a punishment. So, therefore, that's what's pleasant to him, that's what he gets. The ach mimenu yisaneg, it's only from this world he gets pleasure. Hashem wants to give him the pleasure that he desires, so that's to give him this world. Elohim nenase litein leben oilam azeh dovashu me'en oilam abo. We're going to try give to someone whose whole desire is this world. You try to give him something from Olam Habo. There was a person who once said he was at a bar mitzvah, and the bar mitzvah boy was receiving the congratulations, mazel tov, from everyone with a gift. And his response was, "Oh, yeah, another book. Oh, yeah, another book. What's going on? Another book. You know, what's with these people? Another book, right?" So therefore, it was just like, this is a gift, right? This is a gift to him. If you're going to try and give someone whose whole desire, his whole relish is for this world, what he wants is this world, the goodness of this world, and you try to give him something which is related to the world to come, you want to tell him a dvar Torah, you want to tell him a wonderful Torah idea, right? You tell this person whose whole interest is in this flashy magazines, and you want to tell him a nice dvar Torah you heard. I heard the rabbi gave a wonderful idea on Shabbos. He looks at you as if you're crazy. What do you want from him? So kamod dvar Torah nifla as hasog or hasog ruchnis. You want some spiritual achievement, some spiritual gain. Asher isha ruchni yem usha boy, something that the spiritual type of person would get pleasure from. He finds this very uncomfortable. And you start telling a secular person a dvar Torah, Torah idea, he starts squirming, Leave me alone, why are you doing this to me? Why are you hurting me? Why are you oppressing me? He's glancing at his watch. When is this ordeal going to be over? Right? When is the rabbi's sermon going to be finished, so he can. Right, so therefore, he's counting the moments when he could be free of this torture. So this rationale also makes sense to us, the concept of a Rosh receiving the goodness of this world. We're at the top of page 18, those who have the Hebrew text. There are also a few other points we have to point out to in this topic. We need to mention something else. Sometimes we see a wicked person who gets it very, very good in this world, tremendously successful and affluent and wealthy and healthy in this world. Even though it seems to be they're showing him compassion from the heavens, the truth is this is not compassion at all. It's really coming from a different source. The goodness he's receiving is coming from a different source, a source which is contaminated and evil. Right? Sometimes you see someone having very, very good in this world, and it looks like it's heavenly compassion. It's not. It's really something that's very evil, and it's contaminated. Right, this affluence, this abundance he's receiving in this world. Right, and here comes a new idea as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the good inclination and the evil inclination. We see when a person wants to sell merchandise, a person opens a store, he wants to sell his goods. So therefore he has to persuade the customer how good his product is. The customer comes into a store, so the salesman, who's a good salesman, will explain to him exactly why you should buy this product, and all of the benefits you'll get if you'll buy my product. Also you have stores that make big windows, these huge windows. They put special spotlights, special lights in the windows, and then they display their merchandise in the window, so that the customers will pay attention to their merchandise. Right, when you walk in the street past their shop, you can't help but notice the window. The window is so beautiful, and it's so well lit up, and it's so well displayed. So therefore, it draws the eyes of the passerby, and that's the way he sells his merchandise, and that's the way of a merchant, of a shopkeeper. So too it is with Shkein Shnei Yitzorim. So it is with the two Yetzers, right? We have the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hora. Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Hora. Hashem is Baruch Nosel L'Shnei Meifshoris L'Shtadel L'Shpia Libus Bnei Adam. Hashem has given, in order that there should be a test situation, which is this world, that we are tested. We're tested in terms of which direction we're going to set our lives. So Hashem gives both desires, both sets of desires. He gives them both the possibilities, the options of influencing our hearts. Right? The real sale is in terms of the heart. Who wins our hearts? Right? Does the Yetzer Hara win our heart? The evil inclination win our heart? Or does the good inclination win our heart? To whom do we give our hearts? Do we give our hearts to Hashem? Or do we give our hearts the pleasures of this world? The good inclination desires to influence a person that he should choose the truth. The evil inclination, he desires, he wants us to choose the illusion of this world. We mentioned this world is a false world. And he wants to sell us this world. He wants us to subscribe to this world, to the illusion of this world. Both inclinations are going to show us how much pleasure and how much goodness and happiness we'll receive if we follow their route. Right? Just like two shopkeepers in competition with each other, each one wants to draw the customer to his store. Each one shows him his specials. Look at the specials you get here. Look at the savings you get here. Look at the benefits you get in my store. So each one's pulling his customers in either direction. So the good inclination is going to show a person how much pleasure and happiness he will feel if he follows the path of the truth and righteousness. And that's what we have in the Holy Sforim, try to point out to us and try to show us and explain to us how much we will benefit, how much we will gain by following the path of truth, the path of honesty, the path of righteousness. And it shows us, right, we have the biographies of great people, so we see the lifestyle that they merited. Look at the lives of the tzaddikim, look at the lives of great Jewish personalities, look how much they achieved in their lifetime, and look at their happiness and look at their success. Right, that we should even appreciate how great, how well they did even in this world. Right? The great tzaddikim, how wonderful it was for them even in this world, all the achievements in this world. And we understand by ourselves, kol shekein l'ulam habo, how much the more so for the world to come. Right, the yetzahora. Now here comes our main explanation. The yetzahora, on the other hand, the yetzahora has to work harder to beautify his merchandise. You see, because his merchandise is actually false. It's illusion. It's an illusion. So really, he has to work much, much harder to sell his product than the Yetzer Tov. Ki hari sheker b'fiv, because he's selling a lie. He's actually deceiving you. He's selling you the Brooklyn Bridge. And it's, with all the money in the world, it doesn't become yours. B'shirosa einenu shavi klum. His merchandise really is worth nothing. He wants to sell you something that is valueless. Right? Anyone who buys from him is just buying evil. Is just buying bad fortune. And therefore, perforce, what he needs is to show a person examples from life. He'll say to you, look at so and so. Now, this is something he has permission to do. He can say to you, look at so and so, it's Oishu, look how wealthy he is, for Oshu, look how happy he is, for Ilam Hazeh, Af Shechote Yechto, even though he's a big sinner. So this is his big pull, right? This is his biggest selling device, is that he can show you, he shows you people who are sinners, and he says, look how wonderfully well they live, look how happy they are, and look how beautiful they are, and look how rich they are, and look how wonderful their lives is. If you follow the way of sin, like these people are big sinners, if you'll follow their way of sin, you'll also be like them. This is what happens to people who sin like these did. So therefore, it could be, we don't have time to finish the passage inside, we're going to do that in the next class, please God. But therefore, what he's telling you is as follows. Follow this path and you will have the goodness that these people have when it's all an illusion. But he has permission to enrich certain individuals who are sinners in order to use them as agents. They become his agents. You see, they subscribe to the Yetzer to such a degree that he puts them on his team. Right? Sometimes you're a very good customer of a certain store, so they appoint you as an agent. You know what? Not only we're going to give you discounts, but you'll actually be our agent. We're going to give you commission. You bring your friends in, we're going to give you commission. So therefore, those who subscribe to the Yetzer become agents of the Yetzer, and he himself plies them with wealth and success in this world so that they can draw in others. And therefore, the success and happiness they have is all actually evil. It comes from a source of evil. It comes from a source of contamination, and it really has no value at all.